Welcome back to Study with Friends. This week we are starting a new 5-week series entitled Refining Fire and looking at how God uses it in our lives. If you would like to follow along, be sure to go to our website, studywithfriends.org, and download the free study guide. There you can also learn more about our ministry, get in contact with us, or listen to old programs. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a great way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you can gain something new. Either way, we hope you will find something in today's study that blesses you. Now here are Holly and the ladies in part one of Refining Fire.
Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for these women and for your word. And thank you for the opportunity to study and learn more about you, learn more about ourselves. We ask that you would be present with us in and through this time, that you would minister to us and through us as we study you and try to understand a little bit better 1 Peter 1. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello. Okay, so we're studying today 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. And it's Holly. I've been married a little over 20 years, and I have 2 teenage girls in high school, and I attend a Presbyterian church.
I'm Alisa, and I've been married for 21 years. I have 3 children. One is in college, the other is in high school, and then I have a middle schooler. And I attend a Protestant church, Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia, non-denominational. Yeah.
I'm Aaron. My husband and I have been married for 8.5 years. We have 2 small crazy monsters, and we go to a Presbyterian church.
And I'm Nicole, and I have been married 22 years, so have 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy, and 2 in college this year, 1 at home. So, yay. And I attend an E-free church.
What's that mean?
Evangelical free.
Yeah.
Don't ask.
You abbreviated, so what if somebody doesn't know?
Okay.
Good. Okay, so let's start. I have in the introduction of our homework, which, by the way, you can find at studywithfriends.org. You'll find the page where all of these Bible studies in this series are located. And you'll also find a discussion guide, which has all the scriptures that we're going to read today and a little bit of brain activity for you to answer some questions and dive into the materials. It's also under the Bible study tab. You'll find it. Look around. It's on the website. And on the beginning of the discussion guide, I was sharing that it's been a while since we did a recording, so thank you if you stuck with us through repeats. And I had a lot of subjects, a lot of scriptures in my mind that I really thought I wanted to dive into. And then just like last week, I was doing this project because my Bible, maybe like yours, is actually falling apart. The binding is broken. And I'm not willing to give it up to send it to a bookbinder. Like, you can't take my Bible away for 2 weeks. You know, like, that's crazy talk. And also, this was my mom's Bible. So it's just kind of beat up and it's time to maybe retire it. But what I didn't want to do was lose all those notes that I had made. And so I'm doing this project of moving all of my notes from the old Bible into a new Bible. And it's a, you know, obviously a labor of love. I'm enjoying going back and reading. It forces me to touch every single page of the Bible. So in some sense, I'll be going through the whole Bible. And I came across, I'm not very far along. So I came across something in Exodus and a note that I had made to myself. And it really got me thinking about some of the things that are going on in the lives of some of my friends and even in my own life. And I just thought, This is the first series that we do when we come back from repeats. It was just so clear to me that God was teaching me, and I just couldn't wait to come and sit and chew on it with my girls. So let's do that. The concept that we're going to look at is refining fire, which comes up a lot in the Bible. If you look on one of the Bible apps like Bible Gateway or whatever, and type in refining fire, a lot of scripture comes up. But the one that got me started was in Exodus. We'll read through that. And then the core scripture that I wrote down for this study is 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. So we'll get to that eventually, but we're going to start where I started, which was with Moses in the burning bush. And I'm going to ask Elisa to read that verse, and then we're going to dive in and start talking about some of these things.
This is Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up.
I want you to estimate how many times you've read or heard that scripture, or heard about it, or learned about it. Like, is this new to you?
No.
How many times do you think in your Christian life, like, give me a ballpark?
Dozens?
Yeah, me too. Dozens. So we know that, can someone then, since you've explored it dozens of times, can one of you just give me the gist? Because we only read one verse. Tell me this, like, set the scene for you. What was happening there? Do you remember? I'm putting you on the spot. It's okay. Take your time.
Well, Moses is in the wilderness, and he's contemplating his role, his calling, and sort of struggling through that. And he sees this bush appear on fire out of nowhere. And I'm not really sure what else to say about it.
Yeah. Does anybody else want to add anything?
Just that he was curious, as most people would be, and turned aside to take a look, and then heard the Lord speak from the bush and told him that it was holy ground and that he needed to remove his sandals.
Yep, that's exactly right. So what do you remember most about the burning bush? When you think, oh, Moses in the burning bush, what pops into your head?
The first thing that I think of is that it wasn't holy ground before that. That it became holy ground when God declared it holy ground out of the bush.
Mm.
And that's always a fascinating...
Never thought of that.
That's always fascinating to me. Like, it wasn't holy ground before that. And then God declared it holy ground, and it was holy ground.
Because he was present. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Oh. I know. I think, and whenever I think about removing the sandals, you know I think about your husband.
As we all should.
Erin and her husband recently moved, but before they moved, her husband led worship at our church. And for the first several years that he did that, he would do so barefoot. And I pretty much knew it was because he felt that the place he was standing was holy ground. But, you know, seeing your husband up there with his guitar and his bare feet... That makes me happy, that memory. Okay. So let's talk a little bit. So of course I'm going to begin to juxtapose this burning bush with an expression that we say in the faith, which is on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire for Jesus. Oh, she's on fire. Can someone explain what we mean when we say she's on fire? What does that mean?
Enthusiastic, passionate, really
excited.
Yeah,
moving forward. And
People use that in the general culture, right? Do you say I'm on fire for other things? I don't really know.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I don't know that I've heard
that. I'm
pretty
sure
that's
like just
other,
a church lingo.
That's a church thing. Okay. So and we're going to skip around a little bit, but later, as we're talking, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit. So we see that this fire thing comes up a lot. But in considering being on fire, I wondered if you guys could share a little bit from your homework what it feels like to be on fire, and you know, when the last time was you felt like you were on fire. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that keep us from experiencing that. Like, I don't know that Holy Spirit fire, a lot of people don't sustain that day to day. So can we talk about that a little bit?
I wanted to just say that because I've been a Christian since very small, early childhood, I don't think I remember, you know, like ever being on fire, honestly, mm-hmm. other than I'd say probably in my mid-20s. When I first got married, my husband became a believer very recently prior to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that I experienced kind of a reawakening. Let me back up a little. I guess when I was about 8 years old, I was water baptized. And then when I became, you know, in my early 20s, I felt like it was time to do that again. And I think that was a season of kind of, you know, I had my independence. I had just graduated from college. And so I was entering like a new phase of independence. And I think I started thinking about God and Jesus and my faith in a new kind mm-hmm. of mature, mm-hmm. mature eyes. And then, you know, sort of looking at faith from a new point of view through my husband's eyes, that kind of started, you know, burning a little bit of a fire in me too. And then I think what really happened for me was through becoming a parent, through motherhood, I started identifying with God in a new way as a parent. And that just really ushered in like a new depth and appreciation for my faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty common.
Typical. Yeah.
I think when you have been living your life and then you have kids, you're like, whoa, time to square up again.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely that happened to me too.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to share how being on fire has looked in their life?
For me, I grew up Baptist and that was all they talked about was being on fire for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so when you didn't feel like you were on fire for Jesus, and then you started to question your salvation. Mm. So Presbyterianism is very different than that. I'm looking at the next question. What are the things that keep us? I don't think that, I don't live there anymore. I don't live in the space where I have to be on fire for Jesus or I'm worried I'm going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I think in my life, I think that he has graciously given me a fire, at certain times in my life to remind me why I'm in this.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is nice. It's refreshing. It's enjoyable mm-hmm. to have a kind of passion for him that isn't always there. It's I kind of equate it to the passion that you have for your husband. After so many years, the passion can die or it can wane. But you like to keep things exciting or spicy or whatever that is. But
you moved into a whole different conversation.
I did not see this.
Next week on Bible study, Song of Solomon.
All right. Back on track. But you like to, I kind of equate that passion similarly to kind of in a marriage, and it's nice to have it. You know that that's not what makes the marriage, and just because the passion isn't there doesn't mean you guys aren't in love or committed to the relationship or in a covenant. Like, but it is nice once in a while to feel it again.
There are moments it's...
Mm-hmm.
Hotter than others. I hesitated to say it. Sounds bad. but the analogy is not wrong. Moving on.
Okay, so in my life, it comes in waves of fearlessness and courage and bravery. Because those are the things that I struggle with on a daily basis is the fear of failing, the fear of what other people think, the fear of failing my children, the fear of being a bad wife, the fear of being a bad friend. Like it can overpower you. And so in my life, it's when I do go through these brief sessions of being on fire for Jesus, that's what it comes out in, as those things are put off.
Mm.
And all I can see is him.
Mm.
And the focus is back on him.
Mm.
So
that's good.
It's always nice.
That's good. That's great. Anything?
I don't know really what I can add to it. I probably would echo more of Elise's walk where, you know, came to know the Lord very early, maybe in that 8 or 9 year old range. Mm. But then, but I guess I would characterize more consistent. I never felt like I had a falling away process, but I'm not sure that there was a blazing hot fire either. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk
about that.
So that
gets me a little scared.
No, don't be scared.
Am I lukewarm?
I'm glad that you're...
What am I saying? I don't know.
No, I'm glad you're saying this because I want to talk about a few things. First, is it we who sustain that fire or is it the Lord? And what does that fire look like in a different person's life? So Erin just explained that she feels most on fire. And we're using this liberally. So I know Erin really well. I've known times when she's been on fire. And so I'm glad to say. And so really what she's describing is a time that she felt more intimacy with the Lord. And as a result, that created in her, you know, a falling away, as she said, of insecurities and fear, which of course is biblically sound. God is not the author of fear. He does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. So the closer you get, you're going to feel love and power and sound mind. And so when I say, oh, he's on fire for Jesus, she's on fire for Jesus, honestly, a lot of times it's those dramatic salvation experiences. And then the person is juiced and wants to tell everybody about Jesus, which is great. But I take special, I try to pay special attention when people in my life or people in my sphere have that experience, because there's an inevitable falling down. And I can't say that, you know, there's no one ever who has experienced that level of energy for the Lord in a sustained way, because I don't know every person who's ever lived. But, you know, you think about a Billy Graham who was doing revival upon revival upon revival. And it brings me back to the thing I said at the beginning, which is, who is it that sustains that fire? And who is it that quenches that fire? That's why I piggyback these questions. What are the things that keep us from experiencing that? If we change the word fire to the Holy Spirit, because this is what God promised when Jesus said, I will give you what will come. I mean, do you remember in Acts what the visual was of the Holy Spirit arriving? Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, a flame of fire.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of partnering of the Holy Spirit and fire, especially in the New Testament. So if we stop worrying about, am I on fire and am I saved and not, what does that mean? Am I lukewarm? Don't worry about that. Because what we're saying here is experiencing the Holy Spirit. And to be honest, as I've become a more mature Christian, that's more of a steady thing. Yes, it has moments. You have moments. And I've seen you have moments in Bible study.
Oh, yeah.
You have those moments.
I've never called into question whether he's real or if I'm really saved.
But that's just a...
I know he's real.
...different experience. It just means that you... If you never had the absence of your Savior... then the rushing in of your Savior, like, feels you've never experienced that. But that's not a bad thing, because I had the absence of my Savior and I had the dramatic conversion experience. And I can assure you, I'm raising my children never to not know the Lord. That's a better thing, because the absence of my Savior was so dark, that's what created such a transformation in me and why I could not wait for everybody around me to hear about Jesus Christ. Like, I was, you know, running around on my college campus like, do you know Jesus? You know, like one of those, you know, people. And so it doesn't mean, it's not a checkbox. As far as, am I a good and right Christian? It's just different people's journey and different people's experiences. But since we're talking a lot about what fire is today, I think we have to remember that God partners fire with the Holy Spirit. So on page 2, when I say, what are some things that keep us from experiencing that fire? And on page 1, when I say, when was the last time you felt on fire and how can you describe that? Think about instead, when was the last time you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit and in an exceptional way? And you know what? That could just be quiet prayer. That's the fire. It looks different. I mean, okay, so some of us are called to evangelism, and that fire God sustains, which, by the way, I'm just giving you the answer about who sustains it. I asked you the question. It's not us. It just looks different for different people's journey. You know, it says that he's called us to a purpose, and each purpose is different. I mean, each person's, you know, journey is different. The purpose is all the same, which is to glorify God. So let's exchange on the page two question. What are some things that keep us from experiencing that fire? And let's say, what are some things that keep us from experiencing the Holy Spirit?
I'd say everyday stress and distractions, just the burdens of life.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I would definitely echo that. I just think we just fill our lives. There's just busyness, and we don't leave a second for anything, really.
It's a pathology. It's really a first world pathology. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
That I have a friend who did a documentary. It's called Mining for God. He starts on this journey with a question, because he did a mission trip to Africa, and he's like, why are these people experiencing God in such a dramatically different way than the Church of America is experiencing it? And I think a huge part of the answer is this pathology of busyness. Mm. Like somehow, especially women, we have become convinced culturally that we have to do everything and be everything. I was watching a show set in the 50s a while ago. And I will tell you that, like, especially in my 20s, I was all about it, like feminism. And when my kids were first born, I have two girls. If someone gave them a doll, I gave them a truck. I was like, oh, no, we will have equality in my house.
My mom did the same thing.
And as I get older, and I had this like revelation moment when I was watching this show where these women were like in their floofy dresses, dressed up in like, the dinner was made and the husband walked through the door and she was like, here's the pot roast. I don't even know how to make a pot roast. I assume a pot's involved. And at first, you know, that grates against our generation. We're like, oh my gosh, what am I, Donna Reed, right? And then I was like, oh, actually, that would kind of be awesome if all I had to do all day is figure out what my husband wanted for dinner and make it.
And look nice when he walked in.
And look cute. Yeah. Like, I was talking to my friend Marilyn, who is awesome. She's been on this recording. She's a little bit older than I am. And she said that she remembers her mom would get in the shower at about 4 o'clock, change out of her clothes that she wore all day, get dressed, put on her makeup, and be ready to greet her husband at the door. And yeah, like Aaron's making a crazy face. Like, that's crazy.
I have no realm of reference for that at all.
Because feminism has swung us so far to the other side. And listen, here's the bottom line of feminism as far as I'm concerned. Oh, look at me. I'm going to be political. It is that you should be able to choose your life. If you choose to be in the professional world, nothing should stop you from doing that. But guess what? If you choose to be a stay-at-home mom and you want to get a shower at 4 o'clock and look cute for your husband, then you should be able to choose that too. But what happened was, and I was sitting watching the show and I was like, you know what, feminists, you really doinked us. Because what you did was you said we can have it all. But what you forgot is that means we have to do it all. Mm-hmm. And that's hard.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Study with Friends, the place where ladies come together to dig deeper into God's Word. We are so glad you listened today. If you've missed any part of this series or would like to connect with us, please visit us at studywithfriends.org. Once there, you can also learn about the ladies involved in the study, leave a prayer request, or support our ministry. We are listener-supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? No amount is too small. You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We always pass the emails around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. And we pray for you too. So if you are blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship in a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. We hope you'll join us next week as we study with friends.